in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, October 19th, 2023. And we're going to be talking about the big game coming up this weekend against Penn State, number 3 Ohio State, number 6 Penn State in the AP, 7 in the coaches. So huge game for Ohio State, big noon kickoff in Columbus. So pretty stoked about that. So we will start off, just talk a little bit about the Purdue game. You know, not much. Then we'll get into
some interesting news.
Interesting news that just hit today about our rivals up north. You know, didn't think we were going to have to talk about anything like this today, but we'll be adding it into what we were originally going to be talking about. And then Penn State, we'll talk about the big game against the Nittany Lions. And then we will move in, do our normal kind of score predictions. We'll go around the country, some of the big games around the country, and then final predictions on what our score thoughts for the Penn State game is. So quickly on Purdue, I was pretty happy the way they played. I mean, you can say a lot about it's the competition. Yeah, obviously Purdue's not the best team in the world. They had a lot of injuries going into the game, but you know, Ohio State had a lot of different dinged up players too. You know, I was happy seeing Dallin Hayden get in, and he looked good. I thought they looked better on the run game than they've looked in a lot this year. And, you know, I think they did a couple of other things. Plus, you know, Purdue's defensive line just not that great in different spots. But Hayden, I think, hits the hole better, a lot faster than, you know, some of the other guys on the team. So, you know, pretty happy with the way they looked on offense. They got a little sloppy in the second half, but yeah, they were up big. And then, you know, defense, I mean, not much to complain about. Again, competition is what it is, but you know, that's what you're supposed to do against teams that you overmatch, and you know, they did it. So I was pretty happy with the game. You know, some stuff they definitely hopefully are still working on coming into this game. You know, obviously, you know, thinking about Manny Diaz, they gave up way too many pressures on McCord. You know, and obviously penalties, just seems like it's the never ending issue that's been bugging them for the last how many years?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have lacked discipline over the last couple of years. Just to, you know, elaborate and make some or add some of my own pointers or points from the game. I did think Hayden looked really good running the ball. Of course, you know, we've only ever seen him an extended time against lesser competition. So I would love to get to that point where we do see him against, you know, a Penn State, a Michigan, yeah, playoff team, whatever it may be, and see if he's actually, you know, can be the real deal, move the ball at, you know, a 5+ yard clip. I thought this was the first, I mean, I might be off base or hyperbolic about this, but it feels like the first time in a long time that I actually felt that there was some creativity out of Ryan Day's offense, that it wasn't just like, hey, we're bigger, faster, stronger than everybody, so we're either going to run by you, run over you, which, you know, we can all have our opinions on how successful that's been, but we've tried it a lot of times. And I felt like this time it was like, hey, we're going to use a lot of motions to try to get people in space. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, it's what this team needs. I think it's smart. I hope that's something that he realizes moving forward. I hope it wasn't just to put it on tape for Penn State to practice. Like, I really hope that is a part of the game plan because it worked. It wasn't like it was a failed thing and like, oh, Ohio State's going to try this moving forward. Like, we saw, you know, the results of that and they were good. So yeah, I think it's something we continued, you know, we need to continue to do. Brought in a Devin Brown package for the red zone to try to, you know, open up some things there, maybe make our running more efficient. I have no problem with that. I have no problem trying to find solutions for issues we may have. I know there were some beat writers that took exception to it, that they thought, you know, these were things that you need to kind of iron out with Kyle, or Kyle can do them also. And they're upset that Devin threw the ball because it could have been a big mistake. I have no issue with any of it because you got to stay comfortable with him also. Mm-hmm. I think he is a part of the offense probably moving forward, unless Kyle can prove that he does that stuff. So he needs to know how to throw the ball in the red zone as well. Cause Devin Brown can throw the ball. We've seen two really, really nice touchdowns this year. One to Carnell Tate, one to Brandon. And it's maybe, you know, foreshadowing the future, but that's something that, you know, he can throw the ball. He just needs more confidence, more reps in the game. So I'm totally okay with that. Defensively, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, there were our issues. I wanted to ask you though, if at the end of the day, if Purdue scores 16 points in that game, do you have an issue with that? I know you don't feel as great, but you know, I mean, they did have three scorable plays that they missed field goals on.
Yeah. I mean, no,
I don't feel that bad because we kept them out of the end zone. Like that's what you ultimately need to do.
Yeah.
Am I convinced you can have the same success keeping a Michigan or a Penn State out of the end zone? No, probably not. But then again, we haven't really been, you know, we haven't seen too many breakdowns so far this year. It was just kind of like, it was kind of a strange game with the running and, you know, there are penalties mixed
but in. Yeah, there's penalties.
There were definitely penalties.
And I don't think, Purdue had a good drive in the first half and then
to start the game off.
Yeah. And then it's just like, and I, the running back, I know he had a good stat game by the end of the game, but it was like, it seemed like a lot of that was in the second half.
And I think maybe on the last drive, they had some stuff going for them.
So I mean, no, because I really do like, I mean, I didn't rewatch the game, but just from what I remember, it's just that a lot of that stuff came in the second half and it just like,
yeah,
I think they were kind of pulling back a little bit. I mean, there was a point where, I mean, it kind of, Knowles was
even a little disinterested at times.
Knowles did was bringing more pressure earlier in the game. And I think that was just because I think their goal was obviously to start fast. They wanted to get up in the game, which they did. And, you know, I think that's, you know, I always love, you know, I mean, when Ryan Day's teams are playing from out in front, I mean, very rarely, I mean,
yeah, he usually can take care of whoever he's going against.
I mean, you know, I mean, only you only think about it. I mean, really, I mean, just a couple big games. I mean, what, Clemson, Georgia last year, Michigan last year, where they were out in front, where, you know,
yeah, Michigan was never got to that.
That point, you know, but so, I mean, usually when they get out in front, they're fine. And I think that's kind of how they want to go. And I like that they need to start fast and, you know, it will be important this week as much as possible to start fast. So I think that's a good philosophy going into it and kind of just off what you said. I liked a lot of the different motions and stuff that they did too. I would love to see that continue. Just, you know, try different things to get guys open. And then, you know, on the packages with Devin Brown. Yeah. I liked him too. And, you know, so I don't know, is it just throwing the stuff on tape or is he going to use them going forward? You know, McCord did have that keep, you know, earlier in the game also. Yeah. So I'm wondering maybe, you know, McCord kind of proved that he could do it. And, you know, maybe it's kind of, you know, let's lull him asleep a little bit and not think that McCord will do that down in the red zone. So, you know,
yeah,
like, so that'll be interesting. Obviously, I think they can do it.
I like that they simplified the run scheme. Yeah. You know, it was a lot of just gap power runs seemed to work better. Of course, you know, you'll see against a better team if it did.
Well, I like when Day said that in the press conference, he's like, well, that's day one, you know, installs. I'm like, well, sometimes you just got to be really good at day one installs. Like, you know, what day,
if that's what you have down, that's what you can do, man. Don't make it more. If you can't execute what's more complicated, you can't do what's more complicated.
I mean, some of the best running teams that I've seen, they're not necessarily, you know, like crazy looking. No. I mean, they're kind of day one. I mean, most of your basic running plays that everybody runs are day one installs.
Right. You get them down and then you make another team stop it.
So I don't have an issue like that. I guess maybe he thought they were a little too simple, but whatever. I mean, if it works, it works. And just off of just real quick, what you said, you know, hopefully that I hope that this isn't just throw a bunch of stuff on tape for Penn State. It kind of felt that way against Notre Dame. I mean, I know they tried different things against Notre Dame and, you know, they just weren't successful. And then they kind of got a little too conservative as the game went on, you know. So I would like to see them, instead of maybe pulling stuff back, take the plays that you put on tape and add some things
add some wrinkles
to the plays that you did. So, you know, to keep them guessing, I mean, that's kind of how you build this stuff. And right. So, you know, don't go backwards, you know, keep going forwards with it. You know, you threw some stuff on tape. Now go add some wrinkles to the stuff you threw on tape and, you know, trick them that way. So I'd like to see that. So hopefully that's kind of the plan for this week.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
All right, so good win last week against Purdue. We will get into the Penn State game here in a minute, but came out earlier today. So Michigan, they're under investigation for supposedly, you know, they are sending unnamed people to the games to, you know, watch games, which is against the rules in the NCAA, which honestly, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, you know,
that or wiretapping. It's one of the two.
Yeah. The wiretapping, obviously that is what it is. I mean, that is definitely 100% illegal, per the rules. But the stuff towards, you know, actually sending people to, you know, to the games, you know, they do send out, like, you know, they do get films of the games and that's what they're supposed to scout on. And you're not necessarily supposed to, you know, send people to the games to watch stuff. And there's been a lot made that, you know, they use these opportunities to steal signs and stuff like that. So, which, you know, they've made it abundantly clear in all these articles, the stealing signs part's not illegal, but sending, you know, unannounced people to the games are illegal. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's something like, I think it's the reason why is someone could just specifically look at a coaching staff and like personnel substitutions. What does that mean? You know, it's more like you can focus when you're doing it in game. Yeah. You do have someone watching the other coaching staff, but you still, you don't come into the game with that prior knowledge. Like, hey, they're running this guy in. That means they're going to do this because, you know, they have that play call going on. So I don't want to say it's ticky tacky. I mean, it could give an advantage. No. And also, as I had put this on Twitter earlier, I mean, if you're using any sort of illegal scouting tactic to, you know, gain an advantage on Bowling Green, you should go to the gulag.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that one.
That should come with a prison sentence. Like, I mean, I don't know what to make from it right now. If there's more to it, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if we're getting into like electronics being, you know, tapped, hacked, whatever, that they're stealing, you know, actual audio during the game. That's going to be something. I don't know what you can prove, what's out there. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's going to be fine, but who knows? I mean, I'm not going to feel bad if they take away some, you know, Big Ten championships or, you know, whatever.
We've all been there.
I mean, I could feel, you know, I'm not going to feel bad at all. They laughed at us when, you know, the tattoo gate happened. So,
yeah,
is what it is. I'm sure, you know, they'll all say that they don't even care about it anymore. Well, maybe in, you know, 13 years, I won't care about this anymore.
But. Yeah. No, it's just kind of interesting. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I do like how, like, the original article on Yahoo about it, and like they're talking about stealing signs, but then they're like, but that's not against the rules. And they're like, they make a point in the thing. I'm like, well, what is
yeah, against what did they do? Like, what is against the rule and what did they do?
Yeah, like, what are they being accused of? Because, like, I don't know. Now, I mean, yeah, if they are in, you know, a lot of people didn't know. I mean, it was funny, you know, Shiano's, you know, halftime,
something not right.
It's like a lot of people, you know, I didn't hear that. And I mean, I saw some people talking about it on Twitter, like when it happened, but like I wasn't really paying really close attention to that game. So like, you know, cause Ohio State was on at the same time, weren't they? If I remember correctly.
No, that was Ohio State was,
I was watching another game at that time. So somebody decent was on in the same slot. And cause it was a noon slot, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember Ohio State's, 4 o'clock, whatever week that was. That was Western Kentucky.
Okay, so they were a mid game.
I think that was week three? No, it would have been week four. So we would have played Notre Dame.
Okay, so I was watching something during the day. I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to the,
yeah, because they played shit, smellier shit, and bigger pile of shit before they played Rutgers.
Yeah. So I wasn't really I wasn't watching a lot of that game, but I do remember some people commenting about it on Twitter, and I'm just didn't like faze me or anything like that. And then I guess it makes sense now that, you know, he thought that some funny business was going on that and stuff. So yeah.
Madness.
Like I said, like you said, I don't know how you prove it and stuff. I guess they probably can, some of these other universities, if it is against the rule, sending, you know, they just kind of, I'm sure that, you know, there's cameras in all these stadiums if they could find somebody. I
mean, yeah. For whatever it's worth, they did say they have proof. Yes. Or someone said they have proof. I don't know who to believe.
Yeah. So
weird.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I saw that it was originally two teams made complaints about it, and now it's up to four or whatever, but all that stuff, I mean, we've seen in the, you know, the world events that have happened over the last couple of weeks, you can't necessarily believe anything you see on, you know, the internet. Like, everything's based in some sort of reality and truth, and then, you know, once it gets on the internet, then all kinds of stuff gets you know, talked about and spread out and stuff like that. So
right, there's two sides to every story.
They're obviously,
somewhere in the middle is the truth.
They're obviously on the invest, they're obviously being investigated. We know that because the university, the NCAA, and the Big Ten have all come out and confirmed that part. So I would say that that is legitimate, but that, you know, anything that's come after that, you know, I don't know. You know, the kind of the thing after that is, you know, so he's been accused of different recruiting violations. Now this, you know, is there some possibly, you know, who knows if he's going to make it any farther, you know, after this season. I mean, we all know how this goes just from being Ohio State. You know, these things kind of have a momentum of their own. You know, I was not expecting, you know, Urban Meyer to retire after his 4-game suspension or 3-game suspension. And then it kind of, you know,
yeah,
you know, snowballs and, you know, then kind of makes you think now, you know, you, when you kind of look back on that, was that after that, was that planned out, you know, hey, you know, you're only going to get suspended, but you're going to, you know, you're going to resign at the end of the year. And, you know, they said that obviously that wasn't it, but you never know. And sometimes I question some of that stuff and, you know, so, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, so if this is, I said this on Twitter, you know, Ryan Day did promise us in 2020 he was going to hang 100 on him. So if this is your last chance, Ryan Day, you better.
Yeah, do your best to find a way, but yeah. Man, you're not hanging 100 on this defense.
Yeah. Just win. Just yeah, win.
Seriously.
But somehow, if you get out in front of him, I will take a 20, 30 point win. 100.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do. Yeah.
Embarrass them if we can, but if not, you know, 1 point's fine.
1 point works for me, man. For
yeah. Sure. Alrighty. Speaking of
1 point work
slugfest games. I think when you think about how these two defenses are playing, kind of how the Notre Dame game finished, that I don't know. I think you will see when we get in our scores at the end of the show, but I really think that this is going to feel like an old school Big Ten game. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be a lot of defense, and, you know, Penn State's offense, they haven't played anybody this year outside of Iowa's defense. And yeah, they got a lot of points on them, but we know Iowa's offense can't do crap. And, well, you know,
they started a bunch of drives on the other side of the 50. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was
like, I think Iowa had like 4 plays the whole game that was on the Penn State side of the field. So like, there's like nothing I'm going to say. I'm not going to hold that game 10-0 necessarily standard. Eventually defenses wear down, you know, don't want that with our defense this week. But I think that these two defenses are primed to have a big game. So let's get into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Where do we begin with this? So,
I mean, we can start.
You got two top 10 ranked defenses. You got two offenses that aren't quite, you know, where they normally are, at least for Ohio State, and where you would expect Penn State to be with the level of skill that it has also. So, I mean, it's a hard game to break down because, you know, where Penn State is really good, Ohio State's kind of weak, where Ohio State's good, Penn State might be at a weakness of their own. Mm-hmm. I definitely think there might be something that Penn State can exploit when it comes to, you know, linebackers and coverage against tight ends or running backs out of the backfield. I know Singleton's kind of explosive. He hasn't really done much this year. Allen's a big old boy that, you know, you got to just hit that guy and take him down because you don't want him dragging you down the field. So, I mean, I think there are things there that they can exploit, but at the same time, I know like Penn State's kind of knock is their tackles aren't that big. So if you can, you know, bully them, you can run on these guys. I've looked at some of the running numbers. I mean, they do pretty good against the run.
Yeah.
They got a lot of speed, a lot of aggression that they can go, you know, they run at all levels and they can bring the ball carrier down. Now, how much of that is a product of who they've played? I mean, Ohio State, you can't say anything. Ohio State's had a much harder schedule.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is no comparison there. But it's really hard to say. I mean, Ohio State obviously has better receivers than Penn State. Penn State probably has just a notch above when it comes to secondary. They're, you know, a more explosive defense, causes more havoc. They're probably going to blitz more than Ohio State is, even though we know Ohio State still has that in the back pocket. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said, it's a hard game to start to break down. So
two quarterbacks with not a lot of experience. Right,
exactly. Yeah.
I think the biggest glaring issue for me in this game, and I think it's the same for you, is that I think all of that is correct. You know, I think both these defensive coordinators are going to throw a lot of different looks at both quarterbacks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The thing that scares me the most, and I know it's going to be the same for you, is that I think the biggest weakness for Ohio State is the offensive line, and Penn State's greatest strength is their defensive line. Yes. And I think that those two going against each other are not, I think everything else is kind of, you know, even weakness to strength are closer than that. And that is where the big fear in this whole game lies, because there's way Ohio State can do different schemes to get around that. And I think they do have to try to figure out some stuff, especially, you know, challenging Penn State's middle of the field some, and, you know, getting the ball out to some of our playmakers really quick. And negate some of that speed on that defensive line. If we get into a game where Kyle McCord is trying to drop back for a bunch of,
I don't know if I like that. Yeah. You got to have some sort of balance, or you got to be real efficient throwing the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Penn State, there's a lot I question about how good they are just because of who they've played this year. Mm-hmm. I don't question that defensive line and Manny Diaz's play calling. He's going to be aggressive. They're linebackers there. You have some really good blitz linebackers. I would really like to see how some of them look in coverage. And that's why I think Ohio State should really try to get the ball to Stover and get the ball into the middle of the field and different things. And because you said too, and I think that they could exploit our linebackers some in coverage. I think we could exploit some of their linebackers in coverage, because I think that they're very blitz friendly. So I want to see what they look like, you know, when they actually have to cover somebody.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I think specifically when you talk offensive line, I mean, it's just kind of like specifically, it's the three, you know, new guys on the offensive line against what are strengths for Penn State, that, you know, they got Chop Robinson and I want to say Isaac. Is that, can't think of his name right now. I'm trying to look it up real quick. Sorry, lack of preparation. But you know, they have those guys that are, you know, really good, just edge rushers. Chop's a little bit stronger. The other one's a faster guy. So you'd imagine that, you know, Chop might go up against Josh Simmons. Mm-hmm. The other one might go against Fryer, because Fryer is a little bit slower. Of course, you know, that's how I would call it. But if their, you know, defensive line coach calls things like Larry Johnson, you might not get the most obvious matchups, which, you know, we'll talk about that actually more here in a little bit too.
Yeah.
The one though, you know, what really could be a killer, because they love bringing up the linebacker Abdul Carter to blitz, and they love having, you know, 3 to 5 stand up guys on the line of scrimmage. And I get a little worried about him going head up over Hinsman and just picking a gap to try to just run right through when Hinsman's going to snap the ball, and try to worry about blocking the guy also. So, I mean, yeah, there is definitely, you know, pass rushing concerns in this game. And Kyle has shown over the last couple of weeks, he doesn't always have the most awareness on his dropbacks, and he just keeps going backwards. And you cannot, you know, you can't put your tackles in that disadvantage and get past them.
No.
That they're actually doing their job, but they can't keep running with that edge rusher.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's definitely the thing that Kyle needs. He needs to learn how to work up a little bit more into the pocket, because, you know, both tackles are not that bad at like pushing guys off. And, you know,
I think Simmons is actually pretty athletic, but just, he has to have a guy in front of him.
But it's when Kyle keeps backing up, that, yeah, they lose.
Fryer's not fast enough to do that.
Yeah, they lose against better defensive ends in those situations. So, yeah, I think that is correct. You know, McCord has to help them out a little bit in this game too. He needs to move back up into the pocket, and, you know, hopefully there's not a lot of pressure coming up through the middle. But I mean, who knows? So, yeah, that is definitely my biggest concern. So it's just that I think Ryan Day has to be aware of that, and they need to really come up with some, like I said, some good, you know, scheme things that, you know, some of the stuff they ran last week, that, you know, they ran a nice, you know, RPO play to Stover to the middle of the field. They found some nice play actions off those, some of those gap zone runs, yeah, and stuff like that. And, you know, I think some of that works, and that's why, you know, there's still a lot of talk whether Hayden's going to play this week and stuff. And obviously it's going to come down to, you know, where everybody's health is at. I think he does need to play though. Like, and I get it, he might not be the best at, you know, pass protection and stuff like that, but he gives you, I think, stuff in the running game that the other ones don't, and that, you know, they need some sort of, I'm not saying that you can definitely, you're going to be 100%, you know, fully balanced against Penn State's defense, but you got to keep them honest somehow. They come to the point in this game where, you know, they don't have to respect any mountain of a running game, then, you know, I don't trust, I don't know if I necessarily would trust Aller in the same situations. I mean, young guys are young guys, guys with less experience. I mean, it is what it is, but with this offensive line and, you know, McCord just not having the experience, it does kind of make you feel like that 2014 Virginia Tech game. And, you know,
I mean, even I was thinking about it. I mean, I realize they're not as good as, or they're better than what they were at that point in 16, but that's kind of how 2016 Penn State unraveled, was we just couldn't block their guys, and they were coming after JT every play, and we could just generate no offense in the second half. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't afford to be in that position where they're allowed to just not respect you and pin their ears back and come after you every play. So I think, I mean, we've always said, you know, it's paramount when you have your chances, make sure you get touchdowns instead of field goals. But I think this is kind of amplified this time too.
Yeah. And on the reverse side of that is that Ohio State needs to make sure they're holding, if they get into opportunities, they have to hold them to field goals. If yes, you know, and I'd like to see Knowles, you know, he did blitz a little bit more last week than he's been doing all season. I like that. You know, he's being a lot more unpredictable as a play caller this year, which is, you know, a good thing. I mean, he's got the athletes to be able to do it. And, you know, mm-hmm, we'll see if Burke plays or not. You know, Penn State's outside receivers haven't really scared me all year and stuff like that. But it would be nice to have, you know, Burke in there, at least that gives them more options of different things they can do in the middle of the field. You know,
and he's such a leader,
what they're doing with Hancock and stuff like that, where, you know, I just think it's better if he's there. But, you know, we'll obviously see. I don't think if he's out for the game, I don't necessarily think it's a game breaker, because like I said, and maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I've not been impressed with Penn State's ability to hit their outside receivers this year, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't think they just, I don't, I think they're just content on, you know, do what we have to do, keep the chains moving. I mean, that's, they play for 10 yards. They don't play for 6 points, and it's worked out very well for them on their drives, because they keep the chains moving, but you got to stop.
Yeah, and I think the big thing would be, I think, bring some early pressure, you know, on first down, because I think if they can get them a little bit off target and stuff, and make those, you know, if Penn State's living a lot in third and twos and third and threes, you know, and if Ohio State's offense is, you know, playing a lot of third and longs, this could be a long game for Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, but if they can somehow keep Penn State in a lot of third and fives and third and sixes and stuff like that, you know, I think that the defense should be able to keep Ohio State in the game, to the point that I think Ohio State's coaching staff's better. I think that, you know, their offensive play calling is better. And the
offensive ceiling is better.
The offensive ceiling is better. And I think that as long as the defense keeps Penn State in a spot where, you know, Penn State's not exploiting them a lot on third and short, which has kind of been the, I would say that's probably been the biggest Achilles heel in the defense this year, that third and shorts has hurted them. Now they haven't given up a lot of points on that, but this is one of those games, and especially if the offense is just not clicking, that, you know, if you're not getting a lot of opportunities on offense, they could get hurt by that. Like, you can't have how kind of like Notre Dame just felt like they owned the entire second half of that game. Like, if this turns into that type of game, you know, Ohio State could be in problems in this game. Now, if the defense can keep them out of third and short and get them off the field, like, even if our offense is not clicking at first, I think that they will be fine as the game goes on.
I think, yeah, and I think Tyleek Williams and Mike Hall, I mean, I'm not going to like undersell it. I think they could be very, very disruptive in this game. I don't love Penn State's guards or center.
And I don't like their other tackle. That I think,
I mean, he's nowhere near what they have at the left side with Fashanu. So, yeah, I mean, I feel pretty confident in those matchups. It's just, you know, one, I think, let's not kid ourselves. Let's get JT over the right tackle as much as possible. I would like to see some creativity on, you know, the defensive line, though, whether that be just more often try to get Curry Jackson into the game. I was even thinking maybe Jackson, because he seems to be maybe the quickest on the pass rush. Maybe get him lined up on a guard on a play. So, you know, that, you know, old man, old school Rushman package.
You know, they have not ran a lot of stunts this year. And I'm wondering if, like, if this is the game that we're going to start seeing some of those packages and stuff, to, like, try to do a couple different things on. Because I will say, I think that is a big weakness, too, on the other side of it. I do think Penn State's offense line is a weakness against Ohio State's defensive line. It might not be as large of a gap as our offensive line against to the defensive line. But, you know, Fashanu, he's a very good player. Him and Alt might be a push. But after that, I don't think their line is as good as Notre Dame's offensive line. And I think that Ohio State, you know, there could be a lot of opportunities in there to get pressure on Allard. And, you know, that's what they want. They need, if they can get pressure on him and keep him off schedule, you know, it helps our offense in the long run to be able to figure out, you know, figure out what Manny Diaz is trying to do in this game. And, you know, like you said, we have a higher ceiling on offense. And I think that as long as we stay in the game, you know, and don't get Kyle killed, that, you know, you will be fine as this game goes on.
And don't be afraid if Trey's there, you know, do not be afraid to run a screen to him or
swing pass something
to get him into space to try to eliminate some of that aggression coming straight at Kyle.
Yeah, no, I would definitely like to see that. And this is, I think this should be the game where they try to get the running backs involved in the passing game. That those are running plays. And if you're having a hard time running the ball, you know, I mean, this sounds like a broken record. I mean, we've talked about this before. Get your running backs involved more in the passing game. But this is, could be where they really drop the hammer down with something like that.
Yeah. Now, I agree. Special teams, are how scared are you with our punt coverage? Because they were, it's UMass. So let's, you know, let's put that disclaimer out there. Let's put that caveat out there that it's UMass. They returned two punts last week for a touchdown. Yeah. Our punt coverage is horrible.
Yeah. We've given three or four
over
20 this year. Yeah. And I think Penn State has like three or four over 20.
Kickoff coverage isn't good.
Yeah. Yeah. In a close game. Yeah. That worries. That could be where, you know, in a game like this, that is something where something like that could break your back. And, you know, I mean, you think about the 2016 game, it all started with a field goal block for a touchdown. And
2017 started off with Saquon returning a kickoff return. And that might be more so what scares me about this game than anything else, even more so than their defense or, you know, our offense or anything they can do offensively. I just don't know if we can pull away enough that something that if they force a turnover or if, God forbid, they have something huge on special teams, I don't know if that's enough to swing everything into their way at the end of the game, you know. It's kind of like that. Like, I don't know. I wish our special teams was a stronger unit
Yeah, especially since we have a full-time coach, you know, you think that they would be pretty.
I wasn't going there tonight, but yeah, it's so I don't know. I mean, I do have my concerns there. And of course, we mentioned it, penalties have just been kind of atrocious.
Yeah. It's just the one thing that they've just not gotten right over the last several years. This team, especially on the offensive line, for whatever reason, whatever it's a hold and offsides or whatever, this team kills themselves more on second downs, it seems like, than any team in the country.
Yeah. It's
like, you know, I mean, they get a decent thing on first down and 10 yards back on the next play. And, you know, and I know the Simmons, I mean, I know that was on first down and it was kind of a ticky tack hold as you like watch it. But the point is the guy is falling down.
Get your hands off.
And he has his hand holding the jersey on the back. And, you know, and I don't think he pulling him down. I mean, the guy was obviously falling down on his own, but you know, for as bad as I think officials can be and stuff like that, that is, I don't know how you can, you know, if all the official sees is a guy falling down and he sees your hand on his back. Yeah. You're going to get a flake on that. So, I think that, yeah, that worries me. And, you know, that's definitely been a thing that has hurt them in big games over the last, you know, several seasons, is that they just, you know, do dumb things and get stupid penalties.
Really lack discipline on the offensive line. I mean, it's been kind of crazy. Okay. And I really like, hopefully Kyle, you know, let's end the streak of intentional groundings. Now, whether or not we felt like the first two were intentional groundings, because I thought those were kind of horse crap calls, especially the Maryland one. I mean, the Penn State one, I think, or Notre Dame, I think, is up for debate. That one, I guess, probably.
Yeah. The thing that, if you're going to do it, if you're going to get a stupid intentional grounding, if you're going to like take the sack, that's like
take the sack, hold the ball and take the sack.
But if you're going to do it, you know, don't give it an opportunity where, you know, they have to go to the damn thing and look like, is this a fumble or is this a, you know, throw it into the damn sidelines.
Right.
Like,
no, I know. But that's the thing, when you're going down, like the momentum going down like that,
not everybody
has the strength to do that. Like just tuck the ball and take the sack.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, if you're going to run 15 yards back, just take the sack.
Don't put the ball in danger. Yeah. Now
in a game like this, you know, throwing something up there like that, I mean, if a defensive lineman standing right there and picks it, you know, that's six. That's like
memories of Troy Smith and Terrell Pryor and everything bad that's happened in these games.
So like, just don't do it. Like that's, you know, I mean, that could cost you a game big time. Like, you know, and in a game where, you know, points are going to be, you know, they're not going to be coming.
No, like, they're at a premium.
They're very a premium. And so, you know, yeah, don't give them easy ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen a lot of games over the last 20 years with Penn State that usually it comes down to a defensive play in the fourth quarter. And that could be for either team. Just usually that's how it happens. Yeah, I mean, do you think, because we're highlighting their defenses a lot, is that what's on the table for this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at, too. It's kind of like, who makes the most impactful defensive play latest in the game?
And it's going to, like, I just think, I think it's going to feel like deja vu. I think it's going to be Larry's defenses for whatever reason.
His line eats up.
His line finds a way in the fourth quarter. You know, you think about Bosa in 14, you know, what the Rushman did in 17 and 18 to keep us in that game in the fourth quarter for those comebacks.
Like coming all the way down the line.
You know, last year, JT, he was a one man wrecking crew. I mean,
he goes back to Gamble in 02.
Yeah. So I
mentioned the two guys from Penn State in 05 and 09.
Yeah. So I think that,
what did you, 06, it was back to back pick sixes for Ohio State to seal that game?
Yeah. I was at that game. That was nerve wracking. Yeah. Ohio State took two to the house with 2 minutes left in the game. You know, defensively, they were up 14-6 at that point. And they, you know, so yeah, no, these games go to the wire. They more than not, they go to the wire. And I mean, even, you know, even our great team, you know, in 2019, I mean, how good that team was. I know they ended up beating them, I think, by 10 or 11, but they're only up four going into the
17, going to the fourth.
You know, until the Clemson game, that was the toughest game in the first half against Wisconsin, the second round, the second game against Wisconsin in the championship game. But, you know, that was the hardest game that they had. That was the up till the Clemson game, that was their lowest point margin of victory for the whole season was Penn State. And so, I mean,
Well, I mean, what would you say, like 13, 15 and 2020 are the easiest ones in the last, like,
yeah, I don't get many easy ones.
20 years, you know, you don't get many easy ones against them.
It's just, you know, that's the, you know, the
nature of this game.
You know, they've always considered us their big rival, and you know, they always come to play it, and it doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are, you know, they are always ready to play this game, and I don't expect anything less from them. That this is going to be a fist fight for four quarters, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be, you know, I mean, we'll talk here in a minute when we get to the scores at the end of the show, but I think it's going to be a low scoring fist fight. I think it's going to feel a lot like the Notre Dame game.
Okay, so We've gone over what we think are, you know, points of weaknesses for both teams, strengths for both teams. I think do with that what you will. I mean, what do you have any additional like keys to victory from what we've already outlined?
No, just get to Allard, make him uncomfortable, make him make the mistakes. You know, McCord's going to have an uphill battle in this game. It's going to be a big time climb for him, but you know, Ohio State's defense could really, you know, give us the short field, like give the offense the short field, get Allard to make some mistakes in this game on their side of the field where we only have to go 30 yards or whatever. And, you know, and then, yeah, we got to punch those into the end zone. But, you know, let's get them to the point where, you know, they're not controlling the time of possession and stuff like that. And, you know, making it feel like that our offense is just not getting, you know, enough opportunities to stay in or get into this game. You know, I really like our defense. I really like how they're playing this year. This is going to be a big challenge for them, though. And it's not that necessarily to say that Penn State is this all, you know, world beating offense, because they're not. But it's just, but how they play, and I think they're very comfortable playing that way, and I don't see them changing. I know there's, you know, there's some people try to speculate and stuff, and you know, different podcasts and stuff. Is Penn State going to open it up? I think, you know, they should just play when you know that. I think your defensive line has a pretty sizable upper hand, in my opinion, on the Ohio State's offensive line. You know, play the way you're playing. I mean, this is would be James Franklin's biggest win in the history. I mean, this is probably the biggest Penn Penn State win since, you know, 05, probably easily. And, you know, if you're, I mean, it's much bigger, would be much bigger than the 16 win for Franklin. So like, you know, I mean, don't do anything. Don't help. If you're getting in a position where your defense line is really controlling this game, don't help them out. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree with that. I'm trying to think what else. I thought I had another point, but maybe I don't. So who do you think would be, offensively, I mean, who's your offensive player of the game for us?
It comes down to Marv. It's gonna, like, he dominated the game last year, and that was against a first round or a first pick in the second round, but basically almost a first round cornerback. And you know, there's a lot of people who say this guy is better this year than Porter. You know, he's probably gonna be in that same, you know, possibly first round thing. He might be the second quarterback corner off the board after Burke. Like, I mean,
there's a couple from Alabama that are pretty,
yeah, but I mean, they're probably all going to be right up there. And so, you know, but got to find ways. You know, I think Marv had a very uncharacteristic game last week. I don't think he'll have the same this week, but no, I think they did a lot of ways to try to scheme him open last week with Abuka hurt. We don't know if a Mecca's going to play. So, you know, yeah. I mean, I hope he does. But you know, even if he does play, I think they need to do some of that stuff again to try to scheme him open.
Well, you want Marv in space with them. Yeah, you don't want him to have to make circus catches, you know, stop. Like, he is lethal with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, so get him the ball as much as possible. And then, you know, get it to Stover And like you said,
it's kind of like he's like my dark horse player of the game. I mean, I agree with you because we said this for Penn or Notre Dame, like a game like this has to go through Mars. Yeah. But and that's like and that's kind of like they decided, you know, halftime of that Maryland game, like, all right, offense is running through Marv now. And they kind of did that last week too. And I saw some guys on Twitter was like, well, Marv, the alien bailed him out. It's like, yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do. If you got a guy that's that big of a mismatch for everyone else on the field, you're supposed to run your offense through.
Yeah.
Like it might be abnormal for Ohio State because you're used to having all this balance everywhere. But if you got a guy that no one can, you know, stay with, go through him. I mean,
yeah, no, exactly.
W at the end of the day, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So yeah, I'm kind of like Marv, but I think Stover could have a really big impact on this game. Defensively, I'll go first on this one. Honest, I mean, I think it's Tyleek Williams. I know there's a lot of candidates for this, and you know, I think their tight ends are going to be a big deal. I think Tyleek might get an interception this week because I mean they've been really toying with those simulated pressures the last couple of games where they drop a lineman back into coverage. I don't know how easy that is to fool a like 6'5 man baby like Aller is, but and I like, oh, I mean he looks like a little kid in the face, but he's a big dude. He's like 6'5, 240 or damn, 250, something like that. Yeah. So I don't know how easily you'll be able to fool him with that. But if you can, I would like to see, you know, a lineman get a pick. And I think Tyleek, you know, I think Tyleek plays his best in situations like that. We might see a couple sacks from him.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think that I think we're going to probably see, you know, three guys in the box. I think they're going to probably run Styles more as a linebacker and, you know, have Steele or Cody and Tommy all out there together. So, you know, Steele or Cody is one, you know, Tommy two, and then Sonny three, kind of more in that middle of the field, kind of like as a three linebacker set. So if that's kind of like the game plan, then I think Tommy is going to be in, but it's not going to, it's going to be kind of like old school Tommy. It's, I think they're going to let him really go at Aller a lot. I see a lot of Tommy blitzes in this game because
they'll be able to blow up the run too. Yeah.
So I think they're going to be letting him come down more downhill than they've done this year with him. They haven't really shown a lot of the what we saw of Tommy last year. This year they've kind of kept him more back in the passing game, but I think that they're gonna probably let him go a little bit more at the running backs and you know, and Allard in this game, just because like I said, I think they're gonna really want to try to keep Aller off, you know, schedule, and then, you know, that keeps the whole offense of Penn State off schedule. And then, because I think you really do want to try to keep this into some sort of rock fight game until, you know, your offense really tries to get their foot on underneath them.
Trey Henderson, if he plays, for as much as people have, you know, dogged on him for having horrible vision, not showing up against better teams, I mean, he's been very crucial, vital the last 2 years in beating Penn State. He was this year being Notre Dame as well. If he plays, do you think he could have that sort of impact? Or, I mean, is his defense just a different level?
No, they got to call plays that he can run against. That Notre Dame play was a great call, and you know, don't be afraid to do some of that stuff. And that, I think him and Hayden actually would work well with each other. Like, I don't know if Chip's going to play in this game or not. That was a nasty, I mean
it looked like he was concussed.
I mean, I would say it was a pretty sure it was a concussion. I mean, I wouldn't like one of the power backs to be able to play in this game. You know, we don't necessarily know what's going on with Mayan, but I think Trey and, I mean, my two for, I think most of the season, I've always have kind of said I would like it to be Trey and Dallin. And then, you know, because I think Dallin, he does more things as kind of like your typical essential running back type thing. And then, you know, Trey's kind of that home run hitter that you use when, you know, you find plays to use him. And I would like to see that. And so, yeah, no, if they get Trey in the game, if he's healthy and stuff like that, run plays that he's good with and stuff. Don't put him on those stupid stretch runs and stuff to the boundary.
I think he's a good gap runner. I know people say he can't run between the tackles. I think that's completely false.
If he knows
he has a hole to run to, and a lot of times if he has a lead blocker, he is good at getting off that lead blocker and finding the space.
He's fine getting when he has a hole that he knows this is the hole, this I have to hit this hole, usually he's pretty good with it. It's the other way around when, you know, he has to kind of create the thing for himself and where he gets iffy.
Yeah, no, agreed on that. Okay, so what else about this game do you want to talk about before going into score predictions?
I mean, I think I've hit everything I want to hit. I'm really, really, really nervous about the offensive line. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat that anything, right, they looked better last week against Purdue, but I mean, I don't know what that's saying, you know, if they're a better, you know, regular gap scheme block team, then run those plays more, like, you know, because they seem like they were more comfortable running the ball last week.
There was actually a lot of people that made a good point that Purdue runs a 5-man front, and sometimes that's easier when you're a bigger, stronger team, that's an easier person for you to identify who you need to block. So I mean, it could have been fool's gold just based off of what they were running and what their skill level was. But I'm interested to see it. I think they found something there. Simplifying the offense in the run scheme, particularly, I think they did find something there that can have success.
And I have not thought they've been bad this year against pass protection. They've had some issues at different times. I know Purdue blitzed them a lot.
Yeah.
It's just this will be the game where we really see if they are okay at pass blocking or if they are not.
Yeah, I know. This is like the one. This is what you were waiting for. Like, it has the pass pro been real this year? So yeah, we're definitely going to see it in this game. All right. Well, I'm going to move on to score predictions. Yeah. If you are,
let's go.
Okay. So let's start off. And this one's just because top 10 team, Oklahoma, UCF, Oklahoma hosts them. 12:00 game. Oklahoma is a 17.5-point favorite. I don't really got a good beat on Oklahoma this year, but I do think that they're much better than 3-3 unranked UCF. So I'm going to say that they go ahead and cover that at home, that 17.5.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one.
Well, we'll do Big Ten in a minute here. Who else do we got? Oh, Alabama hosts Tennessee at 3:30. Alabama's a 9.5-point favorite. Tennessee does not have the dynamic offense that it did last year. So, I mean, they're going to try to do things to Alabama. I don't think they can. I think Alabama actually wins this game pretty easily because, one, it's going to be a vengeance game for Saban, and I just don't think Tennessee matches up to what Alabama's defense can do to them.
Yeah, I don't think Alabama's necessarily going to score a lot of points, but I mean,
be like 21-0.
Yeah, I could see a 21-0 game. That's kind of what I was going with. That 17-6. Like, yeah. I don't see where. I mean, Alabama's defense is really, really good, and like, I just don't see where, you know, Tennessee has the weapons to be able to even think that they could stretch them like they did last year. So no, I think this will be a fairly easy win for Alabama.
Duke goes to Florida or Tallahassee, so Florida State. Florida State's a 14.5-point favorite in this game.
Is the quarterback still hurt?
Oh, you know what? He probably is. Yeah. Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I think he's still. I mean, that was pretty nasty what he had at the end of that Notre Dame game. So I'm imagining he still is. All right. Yeah, 14.5.
Yeah, I think I don't think he's back because I think he's
done.
Yeah. But I won't say that I, you know, looked far into it after the injury happened. It just looked like it was a nasty injury for the last play of the game. So I think he is done. So yeah, I think Florida State easily wins that game.
Okay. USC hosts Utah. Utah's still without Cam Rising, I do believe. So they're ranked 14th, 5-1. USC is 18th, 6-1. On the road, though, for Utah, USC is a 7-point favorite. I'd still, even without Rising, I don't think USC can win this game by 7 points. But because they're home field, I'll give them a 3-point victory.
Yeah. The thing with this game is that, like, I'm going into, if this becomes like a slugfest game where USC is having a hard time moving the ball, like they did last week against Notre Dame, and I think Utah beats them fairly easily. Yeah. But if USC can get some points in this game, because without Cam Rising, I don't think Utah is going to be able to keep up with them. USC might give up some points as the game goes on because their defense just is that bad. So it's like, what style of game do I think it's going to be? After I watched that Notre Dame game last week, I think it's going to be that slugfest style, and I think Utah wins this game.
Okay. All right, Big Ten. So Rutgers goes over to Bloomington. Rutgers is 5-2.
Yeah.
So they are a 5-point favorite on the road. And Tom Allen's team is absolute trash. So I'm going to say that they cover.
Yeah, and they're gonna get to go to a bowl game.
They will become bowl eligible, and Tom Allen makes it to the end of the year because they're Indiana. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you think they just fire him after this game?
I don't think that they're going to do it just because they're going to have to. I mean, they give him so much money. I don't know.
You just got to like ride that one out till it makes more sense. Huh? Yeah.
And they'll probably do it by the end of this season, but I think they need to find a basketball booster that's willing to.
I'm sorry. How could that guy, how could he trick you into believing? Even, I mean, of all years, like 2020 is what tricked you. Like,
yeah.
It was the COVID year. Everything was weird. People were sitting out. Like, people were, you know, missing every game. Like, yeah, that would be the year that they were good. And that's what tricked Indiana to believing that this guy somehow was going to level up their football
program. And one of their wins was a fake win. I mean, they didn't really beat Penn State.
Oh, no. He was out of bounds against Penn State. Yeah, and they shouldn't have beat Penn State either. I mean, Penn State had some horrible clock management in that game also. Because they were one of the ones that they go, like, they score the touchdown when they shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
So, no, he definitely was out of bounds. I mean, I like Penix a lot. I think he's going to win the Heisman, but no, he didn't win that game. All right, Iowa is hosting Minnesota at 3:30. Iowa's a 3.5-point favorite. We, as Buckeye fans, we really want Minnesota to win this game.
Yeah.
I don't think they can. Well, I shouldn't say anybody can beat Iowa. It's just their defense is good and Big Ten West offenses are garbage.
The problem with that is that we haven't lost yet. I have to assume we're not going to lose and we're going to make the Big Ten championship game. I don't want to play Iowa. So like, and it's not that I think Iowa could beat us, is because I don't want to watch freaking Iowa. Like, what the heck?
No, like, I don't want to watch them sit on the ball all game. And
like, I want to watch somebody that can, I mean, nobody's going to challenge you down the field out in the Big Ten West, but like, you know, now that they're past Wisconsin though, it's like, feels like that, you know, they're going to walk the, they might only win the next how many games by a combined 24 points, but that could be.
What if Rutgers knocks them off? Because
I think Rutgers could. Right? I think Rutgers could knock them off. It's just, I don't know.
They're going to have trouble moving the ball on Shiano.
Yeah. What's the point spread again on this one?
3.5. 2 Iowa.
They cover. They win like 10-0. Like. Probably a defensive touchdown and a field goal, and Brian Ferentz somehow still chugging along. I mean, what the heck? I mean,
you're right, though. Like, all right, Illinois, Wisconsin. That Illinois, Wisconsin's a 2.5-point favorite. Sure, why not? I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not impressed with either team, so we'll go ahead and say Wisconsin wins. And 2.5's not that much. So.
Illinois, I mean. Again, it was the week after Ohio State, but they did beat Maryland. I was pretty sure Maryland was the fourth best team in the conference. So I don't know. I think Illinois upsets them.
Illinois did do some things to Penn State also. I mean,
yeah,
they threw 4 interceptions in that game. So 3 or 4.
Yeah. Like that. And everybody knows Champaign could be a very interesting weather game. The wind starts swirling in central in Illinois. I mean, it gets nasty. And
Luke Fickell team's an air raid team now.
Yeah. So
I've heard.
I don't know. So I'm going to say Illinois beats them.
Northwestern, Nebraska in Lincoln. Nebraska's 11.5-point favorite. I think Nebraska wins. I don't know if they're going to win by 11.5, though, but I think. I'll take Nebraska wins Northwestern the points. So,
yeah, I'll say Nebraska covers, but yeah, I don't know, but we'll go with cover.
Michigan goes to East Lansing.
Cheaters.
24-point favorites. I think that they should cover. I mean, Michigan State's god awful. Michigan's really good this year. So I'm going to say they cover the 24 points, but you know, who knows with all this stuff coming out, it could be a weird game.
Yeah. I mean, these games are always can be kind of weird and stuff. I mean, this could be the game that Michigan State circles that, you know, this is where they're going to show up. You know, if they let Rutgers come back last week on them, but no, I think Michigan is who Michigan is and they will cover this game. And they'll win handedly.
All right. So as of 7:45 Thursday, the 19th, Ohio State in the Shoe. 12 p.m. They are 4.5-point favorites against Penn State come Saturday. Number 3 Buckeyes undefeated 6-0. Number 7 Penn State 6-0. I have a really bad feel for this game. Not feeling, but I have a really bad feel for this game because I don't know how it's going to go. I'm somewhere in between. This is just an absolute dogfight that ends by, 3 to 7 point game. I've talked myself into Ohio State pulls off what they did against Michigan State in 2014, and they open the game up. And then I'm somewhere in between. Ohio State only scores like 10 points, and they either win 10-7 or they lose 20-10. So I'm at a lot of different places here. I think I've come to a number that I'm not really confident about, but I feel is plausible. I think Ohio State will win 24-13. So that's a cover. It's an under for guys that look into that. I think that they, as we've mentioned, they do have a higher ceiling offensively. And I think that can be the difference. I think Marv will get 2 touchdowns, but I do think they do force Aller into his first pick of the year. And it's going to come in the fourth quarter, as we mentioned. So it might be something like 17-13 going into the fourth quarter. And then they add a touchdown on top. It's going to be a good game, but I do think Ohio State does, if you consider, 11 points pulling away, I do believe that happens.
Yeah. So score is, I'm a little lower on you on the score. I think that Ohio State, so we do both agree that Ohio State, I think, has a bigger ceiling offensively, even though I do think this defensive line is going to cause a lot of fits for him. But where I think these fits are going to be is that I do think Ohio State's going to make Aller have some mistakes in this game. But I don't think this is going to be like any like high scoring game by any stretch of an imagination. They both get 1 touchdown and Ohio State beats them 3-1 on field goals, 16-10. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with. And I think those short fields are not going to be touchdowns for Ohio State. And I think that Penn State's going to make mistakes in this game and Ohio State's going to get some short fields, and those short fields will be field goals, but they will tie each other in touchdowns, and those couple extra field goals, it will feel very much like a Jim Tressel game, but
that's what I'm saying.
It is what it is. But at the end of the day, I think Ohio State wins 16-10.
Win's a win, man. So be happy with that. All right. Well, Mike, I got nothing else. Anything before we get on out of here?
Nope, I'm good.
Thank you, everyone, for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.